Welcome back to Coffee with Kojo. This is your student host, Anna Poole, and today I have Erica Summerfield. Erica, do you want to tell us a little bit about where you're from and your background?
Yeah, hi guys. I'm Erica Summerfield. I am really excited. I'm going to be a new faculty member, assistant professor in ag communications at SDSU this coming fall. So very excited about that. Currently, I am in my last semester, my PhD program at Ohio State University. So I'm in Columbus, Ohio, a little bit warmer than South Dakota, I think, but getting kind of similar. So I'm really excited. But I actually grew up in Ohio, in kind of rural West Central Ohio, and really got involved in like ag through my high school FFA chapter. So I actually went to school in Oklahoma, which is crazy, but I was born in Michigan and there was no way I was going to Ohio State. So funny how things work out. But ended up in Stillwater, Oklahoma for about 6 years, studying agricultural leadership extension education. I really wanted to be a high school agriculture teacher for a long time until I realized maybe high school students weren't my favorite group of people. I still love them, but I really prefer my undergrad and graduate level students now. So I stayed in Stillwater and did my master's in agricultural communications, and just fell in love with it. Honestly, I love just the ag industry. I like the communication, the people part of ag, which really got me excited about AgCom and about, you know, this job at SDSU is really getting to hold that passion for agriculture, but also like we're the people. So I love being the people in ag. I think that's a really exciting thing, and I'm really excited for the students. So I did work in marketing for a couple years in Texas in between my master's and PhD, which also made me realize I wanted to get back to ag. It was not an ag industry. I was in education, which was cool, and I got to, you know, still be in kind of the education sector, but I really just miss my ag people. So when the opportunity came to come back to Ohio State and study AgCom again, I honestly jumped on it. It was cool to be back in Ohio, where some of my family is, for a while, and also just be back in the ag industry, and really set me up for, you know, the job that I'm going to be starting here in the fall. So I'm really excited about it. And I just can't wait to get started, honestly.
Erica does not have a problem moving across states by any means. She's been quite a few different places. So that's pretty exciting. Are you looking forward to having that nice little PhD doctor title at the beginning of your name?
It sounds really weird. I think it's funny because one of the things I talked to a couple people at SDSU is like, okay, do people go by first names or is it doctor, whatever? I've come from two very different departments. One where we went only by first names and like no one was ever doctor anything. And then one where like we use very formal titles. So I think the title for me is going to be really funky for a while. I like just like, I don't know, I like the personal feel of going by first names. So that's probably how I will roll for a while. But it is kind of cool. I am, I didn't realize this when I was an undergrad, but I am a first generation college student. My parents never like talked about that. I just assumed they went to school. I don't know. And they had a little bit of schooling, but really they started their careers and just moved up from there. So when I graduated, I think it was my grandparents that were like, oh, this is the first college graduation. And so this is really a cool thing for me, but it's also really cool for my family, where it's like we don't have any other doctors in the family. So I'm excited for that too, just to kind of start this like education track, I guess, in like my family tree. And now my sister's graduated college. She's a couple years younger than me, but I think it's really cool. And that's something that I think I didn't realize growing up, but I'm excited to go through that. Because I think a lot of undergrads still currently are first generation college students. And there's a lot of things I wish I would have done, or scholarships I wish I would have applied for, right? That I'm excited to go through that experience and hopefully be able to like help undergrads in the future kind of go through that. But yeah, being Dr. Summerfield will be a little weird for a while. But hopefully we get there. We're close. We're close.
Yes, so close. So we've talked quite a bit about your love for education, especially at the college level. So what are some of the things that you're looking forward to about joining SDSU in this new position as an AGCOM assistant professor?
Yeah, so I really fell in love with SDSU when I came to visit. That was my first time in South Dakota, which is really funny. The like faculty interview process is very odd, but basically jobs come open kind of wherever I knew I would most likely be moving, which again, you said not a problem. I like moving around and experiencing new places. But when I came to Brookings, I just felt very comfortable there, you know? I think one thing that really got me excited is it reminds me a little bit of my undergrad. So I was at Oklahoma State where the community and the school were very well connected, right? And there was a lot of support kind of both ways, school supporting community and community supporting school. And I got that feel almost right away when I was in Brookings, which is really exciting for me. So I felt like it was someplace where I could live and really enjoy the community, and it's not just like a job, you know? But also a school that has a lot of really just excited students. Like, you guys already have AgCom students, which is really cool. And they're ready to do things and they're involved. And so that's what's kind of neat and kind of exciting about it is, you know, you have this great connection, but you also have this great group of students that's already like eager and ready to go. So I think the combination of those two things made me really excited about moving to Brookings and getting started at SDSU for sure.
I like it. Yeah, I would say that's one thing I noticed as well when I was touring quite a few years ago. Just seeing how the community works together so well and just that partnership that we have is really great to see. We've talked
Yeah,
about
for sure.
AGCOM a little bit. What, as a professor in that area, what are you looking forward to seeing grow in AGCOM, or what would you like to see happen next year with AGCOM?
Yeah, so I actually talked to one of the students at SDSU yesterday for a class project. Emma, I'll name drop you, but she's president of ACT right now. And really talking with her, one of the things, and I was already thinking this, but I think she kind of mentioned it in our conversation, was just, you know, there's so much potential for growth in AgCom in South Dakota. And the fact that we have so many students that are already excited and doing it gives me a lot of hope for the growth of the program. I think the fact that the program has grown so much already is amazing. And so I think one of my goals is to, you know, keep that momentum going, but be kind of like a little kickstart to hopefully make SDSU one of those programs that people seek out for AgCom, right? I ended up going out of state pretty far to end up studying AgCom, right? Where I could have stayed pretty close to home, but the opportunities I got at another school in a different part of the country really just helped my career path and really helped just my experiences in the industry. So I'm hoping through this job and through the passion of the students we already have that we can continue to grow the program and really put SDSU on the map for people who want to study AgCom. And then have students like you who want to continue and do masters, potentially even PhDs in the future, and really, you know, have a program where we can have an undergrad, a master's, hopefully a PhD one day in AgCom, so that SDSU can be one of those, you know, handful of schools that has all of those and people are really seeking out for the program for sure.
I love the vision that you have and just
Yeah.
the
Might
longevity
take
of
a little
it.
bit, but yeah, it might take a few years, but we'll get there.
I love to hear it. And we've talked quite a bit about agricultural communications for anyone who's not familiar with the acronym. But for anyone who's not familiar, do you want to just give a couple sentences explaining what AGCOM is, and where you can go with that?
Yeah, for sure. So for me, AgCom is really, and I think I kind of mentioned it, is like the people side of agriculture, right? It is communicating about the issues, about the innovations, about, anything that's happening. And I say we call it ag comm, but really it's ag food, environmental science, natural resources, the whole industry. And we're the ones doing their communication, right? It's a little bit different than some other communication roles you'll have because we have such a variety of people within agriculture, right? We have people that are the boots on the ground doing the work every day. We also have the scientists and the researchers that are working on, new innovations in food production or pesticides or land management. So we have to be versed in a little bit of everything, right, in terms of agriculture, but also be able to figure out how to adapt our communications to a very wide audience. And that's only the people that are in agriculture. We also have a whole other side of ag comm that is really like consumer facing. So that's, labels you'll see on your food products, advertisements you see for, maybe different animal food, anything. Pet products is also under ag comm. So I think what's really cool is everyone who's listening has probably experienced ag comm in some way, shape, or form and didn't even realize it was happening. So for me, it's a specialized kind of communications that students can take in whatever way they really want. If they want to stay more on production agriculture and work in crop or animal science, they definitely can. But if they want to get into like specialty food products and do food advertising or food research, that's definitely an avenue they can go. So there's a lot of really good opportunities. But I tell everyone, like, if you eat food, you've experienced ag comm in some way, shape, or form.
I like that description. And Erica's so right. There is such a variety of what you can do in ag comm. And with any communication degree, actually, like in reality, there's a ton of different avenues you can go down. So you've got an interest somewhere out there that will fit your needs and what you want in a future career, which is a great thing to have in a major or a master's program as you're going through that schooling.
Yeah.
So we've talked a little bit about your background. Could you delve a little bit further into what you're doing in your PhD work, and then maybe also what your master's program was like?
Yeah. So currently I am a full-time student, but also work at Ohio State. So I have a couple different positions. It's kind of interesting how it works here, but I am teaching a couple courses. So I've taught like an intro to ag comm writing class, also a graphic design and magazine production class, which is really fun. This semester I'm in the like intro to graphic design for ag class. And then I also do some research specifically with our ag health and safety team in the state of Ohio. So that's kind of like a side passion of mine, and communications fits really well with safety and health programming. But really, some of my research is looking at safety education programs, and how we can get students specifically in like high school classrooms to engage in like ag safety education, when they're actually starting to do those jobs. So a lot of times we have safety programming that is geared toward adults or people who are already in a job, but we don't gear a lot of that safety training to students. And really, in my experience, high school students, and really even probably before high school, you're starting to do some of those more dangerous jobs, that maybe you need to do. If you have animals or you live on a farm where you're operating heavy machinery, different things like that, you probably haven't had any formal safety training. So we're looking at how we can use some different advertising techniques to get students more engaged in ag safety training. Especially since safety training isn't necessarily the most exciting thing in the world. So trying to make that, exciting and helpful for students. Hopefully we can find some ways to do that. And I think that research really fits really well with any state. I mean, we're doing it with the state of Ohio right now, but safety issues, especially in agriculture across the country, are very similar. We might have a few different crops or a few different animals, but the same kind of safety issues are coming up. So I'm excited to continue some of that too and see, what kind of needs are in South Dakota. But I've really gotten into kind of how we can spread communications across a large group of people, right? I love my college students. They are, my number one. I've always said like teaching is my favorite, but also you guys are going to go out and get jobs all over the place. So you might be working with high school students. You might be working in extension. You might go out into the private sector, and you're going to need those different skills. So I'm trying to get as many experiences as I can to hopefully help my students. Through my master's program, I did very similar courses, which is kind of cool because I've kind of gotten to teach the same courses at two different institutions, which some things are the same, but a lot of things are way different. So I'm excited to kind of take both experiences and adapt those. But I worked again with our magazine production class and also our layout and graphic design class. And one of my favorites really is probably that magazine production class. I think I talked to you about that a little bit when I was there, but our senior ag comm students basically take this capstone class where they create a magazine using every skill that they've learned throughout the program. So they're writing all the stories, they're creating all the advertisements, they're contacting all the sponsors, they're physically like laying out the magazine, taking all the photography. And then we send it off once they're done, and we actually send it to a printer. And what's cool is the last couple of years I've gotten to do that, we've actually gotten to go visit the printer and see our magazine actually coming off the press, which is awesome because it is like a lot of work. And I tell students, it's like they know it's coming, so it's not like super surprising, but you're creating a whole magazine in a semester, which is crazy for a group of students. It's one giant group project, right? So being able to go to the printer and see it coming off the press and like holding a warm magazine that you just created is like the best feeling ever. So I'm hoping that one day we'll be able to do that at SDSU, have our own, if it's the College of Communications or the College of Ag, I would love to see a combined magazine where, students in Ag Comm are the ones really, at the forefront of it, but getting help from both colleges and making some kind of piece that really shows, what our students can do, but then also like what our state and what the school's doing. That was one of our biggest promotional products about, research, education, awards, people in the state, and what they were doing. So I'm really excited about that too.
That is awesome. When you said the warm magazine coming off the press, I could just imagine when your clothes come freshly out of the dryer and they're just all warm and you just I love holding them. That's kind of the vision I saw as you said that.
That's exactly what it feels like.
So you talked about the class that you've been teaching. What has been one of your favorite classes to take as a student, either while you were in it or a class that you took a ton away from?
Oh, that's a good question. Probably one of my favorite classes I took was like a video audio editing class, which I took it in my master's program. So my undergrad was not ag comm, so I had to take a couple like leveling courses throughout my master's. So I was with a group of undergrad students as a master's student, and that was something that did not come very easily to me. And a lot of people didn't take the class because they're like, why do I need a audio video edit? Like, I'm never going to use this. It wasn't a requirement. But I thought it was kind of interesting and another skill set to learn. And then I did okay in the class. My podcasts were awful. So kudos for you for hosting a podcast, because every once in a while, the clip that I made for class like pops up on my phone and I'm like, oh no, like this is terrible. I sound like a robot. But what was really cool is once I graduated and I was in my marketing job, I made a lot of videos. I made a lot of promotional videos, announcement videos. I was working at a school during COVID, so a lot of our stuff was also online. So I ended up using video and audio editing probably more than almost any other software that I used. And if I would not have taken that class and learned even the basic skills, I would have had no idea what I was doing. And I still use it today. What's cool is I, for some of our classes we have here at Ohio State, we have a couple classes that are like hybrid. So we'll do some online lecturing, and then we'll do like lab kind of stuff in class. And I'm like every week back in Premiere Pro and Audition, like going in and like clipping together videos and PowerPoints and like taking out every time you accidentally cough or say a word wrong or whatever. And I'm like, okay, I don't have to re-record that. I can just erase that. And I think it's really, that was really cool software to learn. And in when I was in the class, I think it was super frustrating. But now that I'm out, I'm like, thank goodness I took that class and learned even the basics of editing, because I would have been really on the YouTube for a long time to learn those skills.
I really think that editing is its own art form. Dr. Daly does most of the editing for the podcast, and watching him just kind of go through and comb all of the ums, like you said, or the likes that come out, is I can't do it in anywhere
It's
near the
amazing.
time that he can. It is
Yeah.
crazy. So I'm glad that that class has helped you so much more than you anticipated. I can only imagine the difficulty of being in the class with the limited editing that I've attempted, but that you've been able to use it so much.
Yeah.
And one thing that I've heard a couple other people say is that sometimes being in communications, edcom, whatever genre of communications you'd like to be in, is sometimes knowing a little bit about everything. And just having kind of your toes dipped into those different fields. Do you agree with that? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think we've talked about this a little bit in undergrad programs, both at my current institution and in my past, because a lot of undergraduate degrees are exactly what you're saying. You're kind of tipping your toes in, you know, I want to teach you how to do a little bit of photography. I want to teach you how to do a little bit of writing, a little bit of design. You kind of get, you know, a mile wide, but only an inch deep, and we don't really get deep on a lot of the skills. I think for me, it really depends on what a student wants to do. I think learning a little bit about each skill is really important for any communicator because you never know what you're going to be thrown into, right? I never thought I would sit there and edit video and audio all the time. And now it's probably one of my more favorite things to do, right? So I think it's beneficial for undergrads to take all of those skills-based class and at least get a taste, even if you know that maybe you're not the most creative class or the creative person, but you might want to take a graphic design class just so that you understand the software. One thing that's cool about communications majors is we learn a lot of skills and software that average people do not have, right? That's a skill set that you will possess after your degree that a lot of people couldn't even open, you know, InDesign or Illustrator. They don't even know what those words mean. So even being able to play around and at least, you know, get your hands dirty a little bit with it, I think is really helpful, especially when you're starting a new job, because you might think you want to be in broadcast and then you get a broadcast job and you're like, just kidding, I don't want to do that. And if you've spent your whole time only doing broadcast and you haven't developed any of your other skills, it's going to be really hard for you to make that transition. One thing that I think once students kind of figure out which skill, every student, and I was the same way, is going to go through classes and there's going to be one of those skill sets that you're like, this is my thing, right? And there's probably going to be like one or two that you're like, okay, I can do that, but like really don't want to. I'm only taking the required classes, right? Everyone's been there. I think once you find that thing that's like, this is my thing, if there's an advanced course you can take, if there's, you know, workshops you can do, professional development, if there's freelance opportunities where you can go out and design something or take photos of something, take every opportunity you can to develop that one skill that you're like, this is going to be my thing, right? Don't ignore the other ones. You still need to have a little bit of that in your tool belt, but take some time and really develop the skill that you want to be your thing. And I think that'll help you a lot in your career path, and also like just being happy with what you're doing. The worst thing you could do is get a communications job doing mostly the one skill that you kind of know but don't really like, right? So I think it helps also students figure out, what kind of jobs am I even looking for? So I think, yeah, it's kind of a loaded question, but I think it's good to have the skills, but also, really focus on your passion when you have the time to do that.
I like that. That's a good piece of advice. Is there any other advice you would share with students, undergrad or master's level, and as you're looking at coming here?
Yeah, I would say one of the big things, and we do this in our class now, is don't be afraid to ask questions and never apologize for the questions you have. The things that we're learning in communications are really difficult skill sets, and you're going to have a lot of questions. One thing I've learned as an instructor is, the software we're using is constantly changing. If I haven't been in it in even a couple months, some tool has moved places, or some concept has been changed, or there's a new way of doing whatever. I have to constantly be asking questions and trying to find new answers. So for students, in my current class, we always joke that we're going to have like an apology jar. Like every time you ask a question and apologize for asking a question, like you're going to owe a dollar or something. Because you should not have to apologize for the questions you have. As a student, it doesn't matter what level, at undergrad, master's, PhD level, you are there to absorb knowledge and you are there to learn things. And I think the only way you can really learn is if you're asking questions. So if you ever, think of something or you're like, oh, this might be kind of a dumb question, it's probably not. There's probably five other people sitting next to you that are thinking the same thing and just don't want to say it. So don't be afraid to ask questions, and never apologize for going through your own learning process.
I like it. I like it a lot. And to wrap up, if you have any last thoughts to share, that would be great. Otherwise, could you summarize your personality or teaching style, five or so words, so students know what to expect as you join us next fall?
Okay. I don't think there's anything else really wrap up wise. Let me think. I'm really excited to move to Brookings, and I'm excited to be at SDSU, and be a part of the Jackrabbit community for sure. I think if you take a class with me, a couple things you'll realize is I like to be student-centered. I like to figure out what students like and what they need out of a class. I'm very energetic, so I like if you're taking a morning class with me and you're a sleepy person, hopefully you won't be by the end. Right now I teach during lunch, which is the worst time of the day to teach because you either haven't eaten lunch and you're starving, or you ate lunch and you're taking a nap. So we try to keep it fun in classes. I'm very intentional with the things that we teach, so if there's something that seems a little odd, there's probably a reason we're doing it. And don't be afraid to ask that reason, right? Everything has a purpose. And I'm also like, I put competitive down. I'm a little bit competitive, and it's not in like, I want to win. It's that I want the students to be the best possible students we can have. And I want you guys to go out and like get the internships, get the jobs. So, like, when we're doing things, like, we're gonna do it and we're gonna do it with a purpose, because at the end of the day, I want our students to be the ones that are like the most competitive for jobs. And really, like, I want our program to win, across the country. I want us to be a winning program. So I'd say I'm a little competitive in our classes too.
That's not a bad trait to have. I mean, I
Not
would
bad,
also like
not
us to be winners, so I think that's a
bad.
good thing. Erica, we are so excited to have you joining us next year, and I speaking with a couple other AgCom students, just having that specific faculty member focus there is going to be so great, and you have so much energy and you're going to bring so much life to the program in addition to it. Welcome to the Jackrabbit family. If it hasn't been said enough already, we'll get you practicing your ears up and go Jacks and get you to the
Here
football
we
game.
go.
All
I
right. Well,
love it.
thank you so much for talking with us, Erica. Like I said, really looking forward to having you here next year, and we'll get to talk to everyone. We'll have a chance to talk to Erica more when she joins us next fall.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I look forward to meeting everyone.
This podcast is the property of the School of Communication and Journalism at South Dakota State University, which reserves all rights to its use. Music by Cody M. Johnson and Tyler Addison James is licensed through AMP Music.